Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host for the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me always is Chris Loach. Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, kind of a small crowd today, but definitely not lacking for material, because it wasn't like a super eventful week, but the handful of shit that did happen is definitely eventful. Unfortunately, we are going to have to wheel out the COVID-19 dump truck again this week, and probably will have to keep going so for the rest of the year, unfortunately. Because some people just won't get their fucking jabs for some goddamn reason. But, fortunately, it's not all bad. We also got some other news to talk about. The White House is currently, or at least attempting to get a new eviction moratorium going. There are some issues with that, though. There's also a student loan payment freeze that's going out, or at least a last extension of it. And I will believe that when pigs fly out of my ass. But we also have to do with the aftermath of the Olympics. We got some new medals that got won, including one particular athlete. And we also got some news for Jeopardy, and a much and beloved show is coming back for us fourth season this September. So next month. But we got a bunch of other stuff to go along with that too, and we'll have all that and more on this week's edition of Brandon of Let's Weekend. I almost called it Brandon's Random Fact. But we also have that coming up too. But yeah, so show is going to be for August 7th, 2021. It is hot as fuck out there, but not as bad as it has been for me. Fortunately, maybe I'm kind of in sort of Stockholm syndrome of summer, where it's like not a couple degrees less hot, and I'm like, oh God, relief. And, it could just be boiling. It's like, yay, I boil instead of just straight up get incinerated. Hooray. We'll start off as we always do. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
In this weird slow creep up of temps.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like the low to mid 80s for the past few days, and it's going to get up to 90, I think, on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for a couple days there, then go back to like the mid 80s. Not fun at all today. Today at least had some threat of rain here and there.
A threat of rain, yes.
Yeah, like just clouds coming by, blocking the sun for a bit, which helped. Mm-hmm. Though then like 7 o'clock, it just pissed all over the place. Nice hard rain there for like 10 minutes. That was a lot of fun, but that was about it. It was just kind of sprinkling afterwards, so nothing. Just enough rain to kind of cool things down, but not enough to make it super humid. So that's been okay for the most part. But yeah, watched one main thing this week, The Suicide Squad, the new one.
Yeah, the James Gunn one.
Yeah.
I've been hearing good things.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. There's not many characters or actors that come back from the first one. I think Waller, the sort of leader of the group that runs the Suicide Squad.
I think yeah, her Black and Margot, and her and I think Margot Robbie.
Yeah, Harley Quinn's also in it.
Mm-hmm.
For one of her last roles is Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
I think she's about to be done with that.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. But yeah, she does a good job in this. So yeah, it starts off pretty well as they introduce this new crew.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Suicide Squad fashion, they just completely fuck up and most mm-hmm. of them die in this mission.
Yep.
So they have to send a whole new crew in to rescue the few that are still living and finish mm-hmm. the mission. Which involves this whole weird thing called Project Starfish.
Yeah.
It's in this big tower called Jotunheim
mm-hmm.
that apparently was set up by the Nazis after the end of their World War II.
Mm-hmm. So
in this city called, I forget what the country is called. It's like a Central American island, essentially. But yeah, there's a lot of good funny moments in there. Some good stuff between Idris Elba and John Cena. When they're introducing like their abilities, they both have very similar abilities, which is that they're, you know, assassins that are, you know, sharpshooters, all that kind of stuff. Like Idris Elba is the first person they get for the team. They introduce him to John Cena's character, and he's like, "We do the same thing." It's like, no, I'm better. Yeah, he uses smaller bullets, whatever. You know, they just constantly talk shit to each other throughout the movie. So,
oh yeah,
makes for a fun movie. Well worth checking out, either in theaters or HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely one of the better DC movies of recent times. Which makes sense for James Gunn.
Well, I mean, especially anything with the Suicide Squad label attached to it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and there's some nice style to it as they introduce the different areas they go to. In the country. So yeah, well worth checking out. Let's see. There is I'm playing some games, mostly kind of stuff that I jump into every once in a while. Rocket League. The season ends here in a few days. Been working my way through that battle pass. It's not an amazing battle pass, but it's the first one I've been able to get all of the. They have like a season reward if you complete a certain amount of the like season long challenges. This one is the first season where they didn't say get all the free ones done, which would be like 24 of them.
Yeah.
This time around they said get 22. So you didn't have to get all of them, which is good because one of them was for getting like 250 shots, which I can maybe average like one or two a game. So that's a lot of games to play. But I've gotten all the other ones. It's like all the challenges for the season long stuff. I've gotten most of them done in a reasonable amount of time. I just didn't get all of the weekly stuff done. It's just been busy a week here or there, but did pretty well in the battle pass. I think I'm in the 60s, about the 70s on it. The one big change they made for this season is that the like it's after 70, it doesn't tell you what's going to drop ahead of time. It's supposed to be randomized, but now they just list all of them. And so it's kind of more boring that way. Because you kind of know what's going on. It's just usually color variants of other stuff. There's no certified items as far as I could see. So nothing that has like a stat attached to it that you kind of want to fill up. So it kind of changes as it goes along. But otherwise been pretty decent for stuff there. But yeah, ready for the next season. It starts off, I think. We'll probably talk about it on day zero, but seems like it's going to be Western themed or something like that. So we'll see how that goes. Been playing some Fall Guys. I was trying to get all of the goals done for the Ratchet limited time event, and unfortunately did not get the win with squad duos. Even tried to recruit a ringer to help me out, and we just had bad luck at the end for a few tries, so that just didn't work out, so I'm not going to be in the running for the Rivets banner for completing both the Ratchet and Clank limited time events, but I haven't started on the Clank ones just yet, so I'll have to get to that here in a little bit. But that's been a pretty good time either way. Also been playing Fortnite. I'll talk tomorrow about the big event they had here involving Ariana Grande. Doing some other stuff in there. Managed to finally get a win for the first time since the recent jumping back into the game. But the Superman thing seems like it's going to be starting in a few days here. I thought it was a little bit closer last time around, but it seems like it's finally going to start here pretty soon. That seems to have some pretty cool stuff to it, because you can have Clark Kent as your skin, but then have like an emote that changes into Superman, something like that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty neat effect, as well as some other Superman stuff there. So looking forward to that, but just been having fun with that. And that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Well, I've been still playing Genshin Impact. I'm now out of Liyue, and I'm in the new region, in Azuma, which is the the Genshin Impact's equivalent of Japan, specifically feudal Japan. And it was really interesting, like, going into this, because, you know, this is Genshin Impact. This is, what's the company called? Like, Mikuyo? Or,
MiHoYo,
yeah. Which is a Chinese company. And it was like, okay, so this is a Chinese company, a very successful Chinese company. I was like, you know, obviously they, you know, the people who are behind MiHoYo are huge anime fans, because, I mean, just look at the aesthetic of all their games. So it's like, okay, so, you know, going into this, it's a Chinese company that's obviously in an anime, but still a Chinese company. How are they going to portray Japan, specifically in this time period? And basically what happens is you have to sneak into Inazuma, because it's basically closed off from the rest of the world, much like real feudal Japan was. There's a shogun who also happens to be the deity or whatever, the ruling goddess of this particular region, who has initiated something called the Vision Decree, which means that everybody who has a vision, which, for those who don't know, visions are the things in the Genshin Impact universe that allows people to use elemental abilities, except for the lead character, who doesn't have one and can basically use all four of them, all five of them, theoretically. It hasn't gotten that far. And there's like a there's corruption everywhere. The samurai are basically just corrupt thugs who push people around. There's a shit ton of bureaucracy that people have to go through. There's taxes that are, you know, incredibly over the top and arbitrary. A lot of people are on the verge of losing their businesses. There's like a group, there's like a trio of commissions that are in charge of controlling everything. And there's a bunch of places that are in desperate need of food, and yeah, it's pretty much what I expected. Like, this is a Chinese company. They cannot make Japan necessarily look good. And for the record, feudal Japan was kind of shit to live in. I mean, we both played Ghost of Tsushima, so yeah, we know that that particular time period was not kind to the average person. I'm just surprised that in such an anime-ass game like Genshin Impact, they actually talk about that. And then, of course, because it's a game from a Chinese company, there's always that little part in the back of your head is like saying, like, okay, are they also trying to use Inazuma as a statement about shit in China? Which I highly doubt, but I also know of writers in China who have had to, when they write, like, their big dystopian stories, they have to have it take place in, like, another part of the world instead of China, just so it'll get past the censors. So, I don't know. But, so yeah, I'm currently in the Inazuma part of the world. It's getting difficult now, because, you know, I'm at level 50, and the enemies are getting up to like level 47, level 48, meaning that they're a bit more challenging than a lot of the usual, you know, enemies that you had to fight up to this point. But, you know, other than that, it's still a good game. Again, I have not spent a penny on this game yet, and I'm now at the area that they just recently opened up. So, you know, I've gotten this far without spending any money on it. And it's still a lot of fun. Still incredibly addictive. Still a very solid game. Other than that, I've also started playing Golf Story again. I finished it. I finished the main story on Golf Story. The very last tournament there is the most difficult that you have to deal with, because the very last course has just about every single obstacle you can think of thrown at you. There's strong wind currents that change at every hole. There's huge bodies of water in between where you're at. There's very thin strips of course that are surrounded by rough. There's sand traps. There's just all kinds of shit. It is very difficult, and I just managed to eke out a win at the very end of that course. But I fucking finished it, and I know the company behind Golf Story is working on another game based around another.
I think it's Sports Story.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, I need to get back to that. I got lost in some of the adventure stuff between the rounds.
Yeah. It's that game's not, we don't know when that's still TBD, but yeah. From the art, it looks like they'll have golf, volleyball. Looks like they're going to have I think the two panels here looks like it's going to be cricket, and also looks like it's going to have fishing as well. So we'll see. Other than that, still reading, still books, because it's always books with me. I read like crazy. Also, I have recently gotten back into another hobby that I had kind of let fall by the wayside, which was geocaching. Chris, do you know what geocaching is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So geocaching, for those you don't know, it's basically the real-life equivalent of finding an Easter egg in a game. It's basically what it is there's this whole community of people who make these containers called caches, and usually what'll happen is they'll fill them with stuff like there'll be like a logbook, a message written inside for the person who finds them, and usually find different kinds of trinkets and stuff that people in there. Some people, they'll use like they'll leave like keychains or charms or small toys or pennies, you know, coins, stuff like that. You know, you can trade various things as long as you add something of equal or more value to it. And basically they hide these things all over your community. The one I recently found is actually somebody had just put it there a few days previously at the local park that I go walk 3 miles every day, you know, when weather is permitting. And they had basically stuck it between the forks on a tree, and I was like, holy crap, it's been a while since I found one of these. It was like the third that I'd managed to find. And I was like, well, crap, man, I fucking found one of these. I gotta start doing this shit again. Because believe me, once you actually start finding these, it becomes a very addictive hobby. I recently downloaded the app again for my phone, and turns out there's dozens of them all over the city. So I gotta get fucking looking for them again. But yeah. So, you got anything you want to add, Chris, before we move on?
Nope.
Nope? All right. Well, then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And so this is kind of one of those stories that's kind of like, it's kind of like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, except it doesn't involve Kevin Bacon, and it kind of loops around on itself. But it's just one of those weird little things of serendipity about something I actually love that I had no idea about until very recently. And I just thought it'd be interesting for everyone to hear about. So, Chris, have you ever seen the movie The Iron Giant?
Yeah.
You have seen The Iron Giant. Great movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's like one of the last great, like, 2D animated films before, 3D computer animation completely took over. Like, they used 3D in that movie for, you know, the Iron Giant himself, but the rest of it is still all cel-shaded. So that movie is a great movie. What a lot of people probably don't know, at least if you're an American, is that movie is actually based on a book. It's based on a book. It's called The Iron Man. Very obvious reason why they didn't call it The Iron Man over here. It was written by a gentleman by the name of Ted Hughes. Now, if that name is familiar to you, you may know Ted Hughes as one of the poet laureates of Great Britain, who also happened to be husband of Sylvia Plath. And if you know anything about Sylvia Plath, that means that that story did not really have the happiest of endings. Yeah, well, The Iron Giant was actually a story that Ted Hughes was telling to his children after, you know, their mother had committed suicide. Which, yeah, a lot of people forget that Sylvia Plath had kids. Yeah. And it just sort of evolved from there, and it became, like, one of the first of, like, a handful of children's books that he ended up writing during his career. Now, during that, some years later, you know, that book would go on, and it would become what would be considered a modern children's classic. As it would be, because I've read it, and it's actually a genuinely good book. And one of the men who got really inspired by this is a gentleman you may have heard of by the name of Pete Townsend, a.k.a. the guy who plays guitar for The Who, amongst a shit ton of other things. In the 90s, there had been a sort of off-Broadway production of The Who's Tommy as like a full-on musical. And, you know, Townsend had gotten involved in that, and he was like, yeah, okay, that's awesome. Maybe I can do more types of musical stuff like this. And he just so happened to get involved he came across a copy of Ted Hughes' The Iron Man. He's like, all right, you know what? We can work with this. And he ended up actually, yeah, he made a whole musical based around The Iron Man. There was an album that was recorded. You can listen to it on YouTube. So here's the part where it becomes weird, sort of full circle serendipity type shit. Okay, so he made a music video for one of the songs on that album that features a sort of stop motion animated Iron Giant. And he got through this idea of like, you know what, maybe we could get a production team together and we can make a whole movie. Which he thought, yeah, okay, we can make a whole movie. That ended up not falling through. However, he still kept on with the idea of creating a full-length film based on The Iron Man. Eventually, that sort of scenario, or at least that concept, got shopped around a bit until it ended up getting inhabited. It ended up getting bought up by Warner Brothers, which is why, if you watch The Iron Giant and you watch the credits, you will notice that Pete Townsend gets an executive producer credit on The Iron Giant based on a book that was written by Ted Hughes that originally worked with him to make the Iron Man musical. So it's that weird little bit of looping around shit that's just downright fascinating. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Now, with that out of the way, it is now time to start show proper. And as always with the show proper, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our big asshole of the week is none other than New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who we recently found out has harassed no less than 11 women sexually and is refusing to resign.
Yep. So much so that the State House is doing their own investigation to see if they should do, you know, bring up the articles of impeachment, which mm-hmm. they probably will.
Yep.
If so, they would bring in the lieutenant governor who would make her the first woman to be governor in New York.
Who is the lieutenant governor?
I forget what her name is. Not sure if it's in this article.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a woman who would be the first. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
not sure it's in this article, but I can look it up real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie Huckle. Genuinely.
Katie Huckle. All right.
Kathy Huckle. H-O-C-H-U-L.
Kathy.
Kathy, yeah.
All right, so Catherine Huckle. Okay, I gotcha.
Kathleen.
Kathleen instead of Catherine. Okay. Wow, I got it wrong four times in a row. God damn. All right.
So yeah, she would be the one that would be taking over for the rest of his term. For presumably running for the next term.
Yeah. I believe it's gotten to the point where even President Biden has said that he needs to resign.
Yeah, and they are good friends, so.
Yeah. Like, wow. That's, if I remember correctly, wasn't there actually, like, a few months ago, there was, like, a sexual harassment controversy that had already started up around him earlier?
I don't know.
Because I seem to vaguely remember, like, he had sort of become, like, a hero to the country because of the way New York was trying to handle COVID, and then it came out that he'd sexually harassed a couple of women, and it kind of, like, wrecked his reputation for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be familiar. I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of, that's where this probe came from.
Yeah, this probe started in the wake of that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is sort of the result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Of interviewing a lot of people. And, yeah, even so much so that he's tried to defend himself by saying, you know, when he does the weird thing of kissing people on the cheek and all that.
Yeah.
I think that's a thing he's done forever, which is not a defense.
Mm-hmm.
But also sharing, like, videos and images of this stuff, to which people obviously, you know, took that and put it to music and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
To show, you know, how creepy this all looks.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Not great. And then, he needs to get out just to save face.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in Kansas State, we have a state representative and substitute teacher who is now facing three charges of battery, and I'm guessing a case of assault as well, for kicking a student in the nuts back in April.
Yeah. Let me see here. Yes, this guy was, I think a story came out a little while ago. Wait, what is
this? I'm pretty sure I remember hearing something vaguely about this. So, yeah.
Yeah. Which he had claimed that, let's see if I can find, there we go. Yeah, he was arrested a few months ago over this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alleged battery. It's three charges of battery. Involving at least one kid. It might have been two, but the one where he claimed he was just demonstrating how to kick somebody in the nuts, but didn't actually kick him in the nuts. Which is like, no, that's not. That's a ridiculous thing to say. But yeah, this guy is a house rep for the state.
Mm-hmm.
All the fun of that. Messed up state there. Yeah, he said he was under extreme stress that caused him to have, quote, an isolated episode of mania with psychotic features. Which is like, stress is a normal thing, but I don't know that people try to kick students in the nuts if they're stressed.
Mm.
It's a
whole weird
thing. And yeah, this whole thing, he disclosed in a Facebook post that he has seen mental health professionals over the past 3 months, which is, you know, good. He also wrote that he is studying ways to handle stress so that, quote, there is no likelihood an episode will occur again. And he surrendered his teaching license on Tuesday. So,
at a picture of this dude. I'm looking at a picture of this dude. It's like, man, what a douche.
Yeah, he seems to be trying to show that he has changed to hopefully minimize whatever sentences he gets. It's three misdemeanor criminal charges of battery, which would be, I think, 6 months of jail for each one.
Yeah, also, this was guilty. A teenager he kicked in the balls, yeah, too, right? Student. Which wouldn't that technically also fall under child endangerment or child abuse?
I don't know.
I guess it depends on how old it was.
And what Kansas laws are.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a bit different there. Yeah, one student told a sheriff's deputy that Samsel had manhandled him and kicked him, according to an affidavit from the deputy. Yeah, he's served in the House since 2019. Has a court hearing scheduled for August 16th and said during a brief interview that he does not know how to surrender of his teaching license or his mental health treatment will affect the case. It just felt like it was the right time to share, that God was calling on me to do it. I just
had
mental health battles that a lot of us are struggling, which I think also he said when he was accused of this, that God told him to do that. So, yeah, that's a whole thing.
Mm.
And I'm trying to see any other things. But yeah, he's scum. It's good that he's not going to be a teacher anymore.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Well, fortunately, we do have some heroes of the week. A big one being Simone Biles. Everyone may remember her as the gymnast who is one of the greatest athletes for a generation, but for one time she had to not participate in one event because she was convinced that if she did, not only would she bring down the team's score, but she would also terribly injure herself. Remember, this is gymnastics we're talking about. And ended up getting lambasted for it by a bunch of man babies online. Well, she came back for the balance beam and she ended up winning a bronze medal. So fuck all of them.
Yeah. To which people tried to use that as like a she failed thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, she went through a lot of shit, a lot of work to right herself, even though she's still not 100%. Mm-hmm. She talked about how she had to, you know, go through a lot of testing and all that to get approved to even come back for this one event.
Yeah, and she still came in third among a dozens of other athletes. So,
yeah, and she has said this is one of her medals that she's most proud of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, great news that she was able to mostly overcome her issues. Now she'll have plenty of time to work on herself.
Mm-hmm. So she did awesome. And we also had something else here that happened. Canadian soccer star Quinn became the first openly transgender medal winner in Olympics history. Now, transgender people have actually been able to compete in the Olympics for pretty much like over a decade now, but this is the first time that a transgender individual has actually won a medal.
Yeah. Yeah, they go by Quinn. No last name or anything, I don't think. So yeah, played for the Canadian women's team.
Yeah.
Soccer team that's won the gold.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they got to enjoy that. I think the U.S. team won bronze. They lost to Sweden in the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Quinn was one of at least three transgender and/or non-binary athletes to compete in the Tokyo Games.
Yeah.
Along with New Zealand weightlifter Laurel Hubbard, which we talked about before, and the American skateboarder Alanna Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn's the only one that leaves with a medal.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, awesome.
Great news.
Very awesome news. All right. Well, with that, it's now to go on from the show proper to the proper show proper. And first story we got this week is that the White House and the Center for Disease Control is announcing a new eviction moratorium, but it's not coming without some issues first.
Yeah, this new eviction moratorium was announced on Tuesday by the CDC. Could run into opposition at the Supreme Court, where when the justices looked over this, the previous one, the moratorium, it passed 5-4 with Kavanaugh on the yay side. Yeah. It seemed to very much be like a, we'll let this slide this one time. But he said he believed that the CDC lacked the authority to order it.
Mm-hmm.
Extending the moratorium any further, Kavanaugh wrote, would be possible only with clear and specific congressional authorization by a new legislation.
Yeah.
Which did not happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see if this keeps going. Or if it's going to get stopped, who knows?
Yeah. But basically, a lot of people are giving credit to Cori Bush because she basically shamed the administration into doing this by sleeping out front of the Capitol building. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Next up, the Education Department is announcing the final extension of student loan payment freeze.
Yeah, this is until the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so people that have federal loans have a bit more time. It's supposed to expire here at the end of September, so you get about 3 more months out of that. Or no, 4 more months.
Or, so, you know, they could always do the logical thing and just say, hey, all those student loan debts that you owe to the federal government, they are now officially forgiven.
Yeah.
Poof. For the very least, that. Like,
cancel interest.
Yeah. That
would help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people get stuck in a cycle of just paying off interest.
Yeah.
Very little of their actual loan.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if the federal government did that, it would immediately be a boost to the economy. Like, just pow, like that.
I mean, you've noticed that people have been paying their loans for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't really affected anything at all.
Yeah.
It's been people getting laid off in mass.
Yeah.
That has caused the issues. Or,
yeah. And it's also because, you know, a bunch of people, you know, have decided, you know what, I would rather fucking starve to death in the street in an alleyway somewhere than go back to this job where I get paid a fucking pittance in exchange for, you know, 9 to 12 hours of my day.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's also that. Well, all right. So, next up, we're going to roll up the garage door and back out the COVID-19 dump truck. Beep, beep. We all know what that means. So, first of all, before we get forward, we don't have it in the show notes, but we might as well put it out here. The government announced this week that the United States has crossed the 50% threshold for fully vaccination. So that's good news, you know, at least on top of all this. Also, apparently in the worst hit parts of the country, vaccination rates are actually climbing significantly. So, you know, there's still hope, but then we got some of this shit we're going to have to tell you about. So first and foremost, the Biden administration announced that they want to make COVID-19 vaccines mandatory for active duty troops. And keep in mind, as Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, he absolutely can do that.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is expecting to seek authorization to do this. Austin's inclination is toward making the COVID-19 vaccine mandatory for active duty troops. The secretary makes the final recommendation. He could seek a presidential waiver to allow the vaccine to be administered to troops before full approval by the FDA. I think that's the whole thing, is none of them are fully approved by the FDA.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Pfizer one is supposed to get full approval from the FDA, I think, before the end of September.
Yeah, it's still a ways away.
Yeah.
So, that's Pentagon decision and recommendation on how to proceed could come this week. So they're seeking a way to get this through before waiting for FDA approval.
Yeah.
Which I've seen people even doing that for cops, like people threatening to quit the force. It's like, well, don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, seriously.
If this is something that gets you to quit, then let's do it.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of bullshit, Bike Week is happening again this year at Sturgis, and it's almost sure to be a super spreader event because...
it was last year.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what Sturgis is, it's a huge motorcycle rally that happens in North Dakota. And South Dakota. Yeah. Sorry, I get my Dakotas mixed up. And its demographic is usually like none of them are under the age of 40.
Yeah,
let me just put it that way.
All kind of Trumper style people.
Mm-hmm.
Bikers and all that.
Yeah. And
we get about 700,000 people this year.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to just under 500,000 last year.
Yep. Yeah, well, anyway, and, you know, they've had, like, people from, like, CNN or MSNBC go up there. It's like, hey, any guys, like, vaccinated or plan to wear a mask? And they're like, nope. Can't do that. We got to be the big macho type biker types.
I think I saw somebody that was asking, and the guy was like, yeah, my wife's has it right now. That's why she's at home.
Mm-hmm.
Twitch is like, somebody's like, oh, to get the camera guy to zoom out to the other guys, his friends near
mm-hmm.
him, being like, what the fuck? Wishing they could have got that shot.
Yeah. Yeah, so that shit's happening. Also, the governor of Missouri has realized, perhaps way too late, that, hey, anti-mask mandates, that bill that he did, it was not a very good idea for the kids, especially when they're coming back to school really soon.
Yeah. Wait, this is Arkansas. That was Missouri.
Oh, it's Arkansas. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Arkansas, it's Arkansas.
Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
Says he wants to see the law that he passed a few months ago reversed to give schools the option to require face coverings when children return to the classroom. As he said, in hindsight, I wish that it had not become law because it is the law. The only chance we have is either to amend it or for the court to say it has an unconstitutional foundation. Yeah, he's called for a special session for the state legislature to change the law. Yeah, he and Secretary of Health Jose Romero stressed that children under 12 are currently the most vulnerable group in the state because they are unable to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
As of August 1st of this year, nearly 19% of all active cases are in children under 18 years of age. Those who cannot have a vaccine at this point account for more than half of that percentage.
Uh-huh.
The governor said he had signed the bill banning mask mandates in April because cases in Arkansas were low. State reportedly only 44 new cases on April 5th when it passed. I knew it would be overridden by the legislature if I didn't sign it, and I had already eliminated our statewide mask mandate. Everything has changed now. Yeah, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
A huge dumbass.
Yeah. And finally, for the dump truck, the governor of New Jersey recently was out in public. He was given a press conference, I think, about COVID stuff. About, I can't remember what it was he was doing. I think it was about like a mask mandate or something. And there were a bunch of like anti-vaccination protesters that were off camera chanting. And he basically finally just said, fuck it. And he just called them the ultimate knuckleheads. Basically saying what everyone else had been wanting to say forever at this point.
And he said, these folks back there have lost their minds. You've lost your minds. You're the ultimate knuckleheads. And because of what you are saying and standing for, people are losing their life. People are losing their life, and you have to know that. Look in the mirror. Yeah, Murphy said on Monday that around 80% of positive tests in New Jersey between July 12th and 19th were from people who are not vaccinated, or not fully vaccinated. You know, 6% of people in the state are fully vaccinated.
Mm.
Like most other states, their numbers are on the rise.
Yeah.
Like at one point last week, a third of all cases, new cases, came from just Florida and Texas.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Two of the governors that are fighting the hardest against letting government entities require the vaccines or masks or anything like that.
Yep. It's true. Well, Yeah, and like I said earlier, though, in places like Arkansas, the vaccination rate is actually ticking up because apparently people have finally realized, oh shit, this isn't a joke. But unfortunately, from what I've read, if it keeps up at this rate, we're not going to get anywhere near herd immunity until like late December or like early January. And that's only if it stays at the current momentum. If it drops off, then who knows when. But we're going to go ahead and park that back in the garage. Back next week when we will surely have to bring it back out again because that's the world we live in and that's why shit floats and gold sinks. Anyway, moving on from there, we got some news out of Brazil. So Brazil is currently being led by President Jair Bolsonaro, who is just 100 different kinds of awful, including the fact that he has kind of bungled his country response to COVID-19, like very, very badly. So much so that he's almost sure to win, to lose the next election to his predecessor. But he now is dealing with the fact that Brazil's Supreme Court has recently ordered an investigation because it looks like he may have taken part in some voter fraud.
Well, not really that. He's doing the Trump thing of claiming there's voter fraud.
Oh,
so
I got it backwards.
They're investigating him for unproven claims.
Yeah, there voter fraud. We go. Yeah. There has been some, I've been hearing talk out of Brazil. People are worried that he's going to try and, because like I said, his popularity right now in Brazil is irradiated. Like, it's really bad. And he is almost surely going to lose his next election, which means people are afraid he's going to try and pull a military coup. And the thing is, Brazil has a history of military coups, and he was a army officer during the last military dictatorship in Brazil. And, you know, in Brazil, the military is kind of the backbone of their government. So there is a very real risk that he might actually try to do that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, and it's like a whole probe that is going on about the spread of fake news by his government.
Yeah.
So investigating all that, and of course, the dumbass has gotten himself roped into it.
Yeah.
Funny he should face investigation for slander and inciting criminal acts rather than documented claims of massive voter fraud.
Yeah. Now he's actually going to have to face the consequences of this shit.
Hopefully.
But I hope so. Again, like we said, very big risk that he might try to pull a coup. And Brazil has a history of coups. Yeah. Next up, we also got news that a official with the federal labor found out that Amazon actually tried to, and I guess succeeded at tainting the union vote in Alabama. And my reply is, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah. They found Amazon's anti-union tactics tainted this spring's election in Alabama, sufficiently enough to scrap its results. According to the union that sought to represent the workers, officials recommending a do-over of the unionization vote.
Yep.
So, no idea if that's actually going to happen, but they might get a second chance at that.
They might. Unfortunately, I do have to let people know that when these do go through and they have a second shot at another election, it usually doesn't do much better. But, you know, they still got a chance. So they might be able to do another vote. And, hey, if we're lucky, they'll succeed. Because honestly, there is no, there are very few places in America right now that need a labor union than Amazon workers.
Yep.
I mean, people are legit dying on the job and like getting no kinds of compensation for their next of kin. Like that's pretty bad. Anyway. Next up, we got some Olympic news to talk about. First and foremost, a sprinter from the country of Belarus has been forced to flee to Poland because she was warned by her family that she should not come home. This was also, I believe, on the back of her, they attempted to like force her on a plane ride back to Belarus.
Yeah.
Is this the same person? Yeah.
Yeah, she had been critical of her coaches on social media.
Yeah,
they did not take too kindly, the country did, and wanted to have her brought home immediately without even doing a race that she was going to be in. So she had to skip that. Luckily, managed to get a hold of officials in Tokyo to explain her situation. I believe even used like Google Translate to help her get through to them.
Yeah.
Got the attention of the IOC and all that as they help facilitate her getting a humanitarian visa from Poland. Because she said she feared retaliation if she returned to Belarus. And
yeah.
Refusal to compete in an event for which she hadn't trained blossomed into a political firestorm over there.
For those who don't know, Belarus
took out the accreditation of her two coaches. So they had to leave immediately as well. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Belarus is ruled by a dictator named Lukashenko, who has basically been in power continuously since the early 90s. And he's also, they're also like the last country in Europe that still goes by a command economy. He is notoriously thin-skinned and extremely, like, super-duper arbitrary in his authoritarianism. Most recently, he rather infamously hijacked a freaking jet plane that was flying over his country on suspect and by claiming that there was some kind of a bomb or something that was on the plane. So much so that basically the people of the rest of Europe said, all right, we will no longer allow any Belarusian airlines to cross into our space. Like, it's bad. It's very bad. We got some other good news, too. There was a tie in the high jump, so the two high jumpers opted to just share the gold medals.
Yeah. That was a neat little thing. They were sort of competing, got to a point where they were tied. And in lieu of just doing a series of like tiebreaker jumps, sort of thing, they talked to the officials who said that, yeah, they would, be able to agree to a tie and just share the gold medals. And so they did it, happened to be friends. So they were much happy to share the gold medals and, share their love for each other.
Yeah. Hey. Alrighty. So, let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. One of the best track races of all time happened this week with the men's 400-meter hurdles. Yeah.
So, the record, the world record that was set in 1992, I believe, was at, let me see, what was the previous record here? I think it was at 46.78 seconds. That stood from the 1992 Olympics that was broken just a few weeks earlier by this Norway runner, Karsten Warholm. Broke it to 46.71, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So he had just broken that. And so with this race, he ended up winning and taking it all the way down to 45.95, about 0.75 seconds off of his previous world record that he had set a few weeks earlier. Mm-hmm. The second place runner is a U.S. runner, Rye Benjamin, who also broke that world record at 46.17. Has a nice quote here. If you told me a week ago that I would hit 46.1 but would finish second, I would beat the shit out of you, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the third place guy would have also broken the previous record, previous world record, if Warholm had not broken it a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, like, the fifth place guy in this race would have won gold medal in this event every other year this happened, but 92.
Yeah.
If you wipe the other four guys off in this year's race.
Mm-hmm.
That's how wild this whole race was. So many people getting personal bests, as well as just setting records and times that people did not think would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that generally happened a good bit in the track because the, I don't know if it was the hot weather or just the way the track was in the Tokyo stadium. Mm-hmm. Something about it made it more faster track than usual.
Yeah.
I don't know what the, I assume people will be looking into specifically how that worked, but a lot of records have been set.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, oh, yeah, the women. The
one, like, got so excited, he just, like, tore his shirt.
Yeah. And the apparently the women's 400-meter hurdles also didn't disappoint.
Yeah, this also had some record-breaking. It was 51.90 as the world record. And the top American, Cindy McLaughlin, beat it at 51.46, almost a good 0.45 seconds off the world record. The second place is another American named, where is it at? Dalila Muhammad. He was a reigning Olympic champion from the previous Olympics in 2016.
Mm.
Also hits 51.58. So also sort of being the world record, but only getting the silver medal as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And the third place was Femke Bol, set the European record of 52.03 with that. And so, yeah, just kind of another amazing race because McLaughlin didn't necessarily have a great start. Muhammad was leading for about half the race, and then McLaughlin just started catching up and surpassing her right near the end. Definitely worth watching the video that's out there of at least like half the race covers that. So yeah, a lot of good performances out there.
Yeah. It was really good. All right. So moving on there, we got some entertainment news. We now know who is probably going to be the guy to become the next main host for Jeopardy for replacing the late Alex Trebek. It's going to be the Mike Richards there. Executive producer, which is kind of putting all that guest bullshit that they did up to this point, kind of, I don't know, it just it makes them not look very good.
Yeah, people are not necessarily happy about this. He did do some guest hosting a little bit. People seem to like him, but not as much as maybe some of the others,
like
LeVar Burton. And it also seems convenient that the person that is executive producer on the show is also going to end up hosting it.
Yeah.
Which is a guy that I've heard people say he was going to host some big game show at some point. Very much seemed that kind of personality kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why it has to be this show that he is also helping to run.
Yeah. It makes the whole thing look like a charade, basically, is what I'm saying. It just, it, it, it's not good. It's not a good visual, is what I'm saying. They put on this huge show of like they're going to have all these guest hosts, and like, you know, the implication was all, you know, one of these people will eventually end up being the main host, and then we find out, oh, it's the guy who's basically in charge of running the show from behind the scenes anyway.
Yeah. And so people like looked at some of his past, and he has had some discrimination lawsuit issues in the past.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, one brought by former Price is Right model Brandi Cochran in 2010. Accused Richards of firing her mm-hmm. because she had become pregnant and had a difficult pregnancy. Another filed in a suit in 2011 by another model on that show, model Lanisha Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Asserted that she was wrongfully terminated and subject to harassment on the set of the long-running game show. Mm-hmm. Richards was dismissed as a plaintiff in Cole's suit in 2013. The case was settled out of court.
Mm-hmm.
So, not really great.
Yeah, but... Yeah, and finally, last story for the night. We now know that Dear White People is going to get a fourth season that'll be premiering late next month, September 22nd, and it's going to be a musical.
Yeah, it's weird that it's going to be a musical, but it'll be focusing more on, you know, R&B and rap, and I assume a lot of stuff like that that fits the vibes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trailer there showing off a little bit of it. I forget what the song is that's featured in that.
Mm-hmm.
Might be This Is How We Do It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It. So we'll have to see how it turns out.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the show has been very good.
Oh yeah. So first three seasons in particular. Yeah, first three seasons have basically knocked it out of the park left, right, and center. So, yeah. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, and I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. It was kind of short this week. We didn't have a whole lot of material to work with, but hey, we did have some stories that definitely got some good stuff out of it. So, we do have a show. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question or comment, something you want us to read on the air, get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any other kind of place where this podcast aggregator that you can think of. And if we're not on there, well, wait a few minutes, because as soon as we find out it exists, we will almost immediately start posting our stuff on there. But in the meantime, if you liked what you heard, please share with friends, family, and have them share with friends, family. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme, except you don't have to pay. So, with that, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Chris Logi, I'd like to tell you all good night, sleep tight, and as I will continue to say, until this shit is finally beat, if you have not been vaccinated yet, and you are able to get it, you know, because you don't have some sort of immunocompromisation or some sort of allergy to the materials in it, please get vaccinated, because I would like to be able to stop wearing masks at some point in my life.